Should I share this with you? This is a really good one. Okay. It's very practical, and I think a lot of people could relate to it. My mother-in-law, who back in 1977 realized she didn't like me, accept me, whatever, because I wasn't Polish like her and she didn't choose me, had made this decision, I'm not going to accept Maura. Okay. So that was the reality I lived with for decades. Okay. One day, I was at my sister-in-law's house, and this is after going through all kinds of behavior patterns. I'm trying to get her approval. Nothing is working. She's icing me out of conversations, but whatever. So you know all these feelings, right?
Yes.
This is what happened to me, and I picked it up, and I thought it immediately reminded me of it today. One day, while at my sister-in-law's house, we were at the table, the kitchen table, and for whatever reason, maybe I moved to the sink, and I saw her get up, and she was walking away from me. So I wasn't seeing her from her face. I was seeing her from behind. And here for the very first time, I saw a completely different woman. I saw her from the perspective of, this is a woman who didn't know me, who was fearful of something different than what was like her. And she had her guard up in a way of protection. And I'm not going to say it shifted everything, but Karen, in that very moment, I saw her heart and her soul rather than her persona. And that, I'm telling you, when we could do that, it helps, it shifts everything, and it makes so much of that extra negative energy. And a lot of those lies just dissipate. I've had that happen several times with people, but I just loved it when this man reminded me of that today.
But more importantly, too, looking at it from her perspective, you were taking away her son.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And every mother knows, and I'm going to get emotional out of this, when a son marries, you do lose your son.
You know, I only have a daughter, but I have heard that many times. It's a place that...
You don't lose your daughter.
Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. And so, not that I was ever trying to, but...
Every woman knows that, that, you know... You will, and that's what it is. So when you look at it from that perspective, you then sort of think, oh, you know, and it's funny, you know, that she actually did that, because I have consciously I get on with my daughter-in-law, and she's Polish, believe it or not. So, you know, there's some things she does I don't disagree, but I just let that go. I'm sure there's heaps of stuff I do that she disagrees with as well. But overall, I honestly do like her. But I have consciously said I will always get on with my daughter-in-law. And my older son looks like he'll get married soon as well, which will be great. And I will do exactly the same with it. I don't understand women who consciously alienate their in-laws, like their daughter-in-laws or their son-in-laws. What's the point? You know, you're actually saying that I disagree with my child's choice. And to honor and to celebrate your child, you have to say, well, that wouldn't have been my choice, but I will honor you and I will make sure she becomes part, or he becomes part of our family. Quite interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it? And you know what? Really, when you look at life, so many scenarios play out over and over again.
Yes.
The details and the faces may change, but it is, I feel rejected rather than included. And yet, do you know the bottom line? I really believe, because I think it's where we all came from. We all came from the place of unity and love, that here on this earthly environment where we all live, the bottom line is we are looking to be accepted, to be loved just for being ourselves, not for being somebody else or somebody wants us to be. And I think that we could have a completely different world. And I know a lot of times wherever I go, I kind of look for stories to tell that convey that thought. But when we live in a society that generation after generation continues to promote the idea of division, polarization, fear, hatred, the other, etc., people, you know how you said you consciously chose to get along with your daughter-in-law?
Yep.
A lot of times people give away their own consciousness to someone else's ideas, and they adopt them as their own. And so I might say the same about myself. I look for ways to make things work because I know what it's like to feel at peace, and I know what it's like to feel in harmony and to create those environments.
Yes. But I must admit, I am so much more consciously aware, you know, since Dan passed over 7 years ago than what I was. And she has come into my life since then. And I totally understand that we are all living in a world of separateness, right? And we all used to be oneness. And it's all I. But when we come to a realization that it is actually we, and the way we can more easily become we is we don't have to be right. We don't have to agree, but we don't have to push our way onto other people. And that's what this book actually does. It shows you that if you don't get the lesson from one person, you are going to get it again from another person. They'll have a different body, they'll have a different scenario, but the lessons are going to keep coming at you until you get them. And everything in your life is about you learning and growing on a soul level. And that's what this book I just really do love. And the worksheets, oh my God, the awareness you get when you start doing these worksheets, and they're really easy to fill in. They take a while. I think I've done a few of them, but they've taken at least 2 hours for each one.
Yes.
Which is good, because you really get the awareness through handwriting. Do you feel that when you handwrite, you get so much more awareness than when you type?
Yes, absolutely. I've told that to others. Do you know, energetically, I've done this before with my own journals.
Yes.
I always like to keep journals. I like to be reflective. I could go back to my handwritten journals, and because I'm looking at my old handwriting, I'm immediately back in the moment of when I wrote that. So not only back in the moment, but all the emotions, all the perspectives, the feelings, everything are right back there. Somebody told me that there's actually some kind of a connection between our writing versus the typing. Typing cuts off something, but the handwriting, literally, it's like it continues to live on energetically. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, because it's more the flow of it. It's the flow more than the typing.
Okay.
Because you're using one hand, and that's another thing with handwriting. If you use your non-dominant hand to write, you'll have a different perspective in what you're writing than if you're using your dominant hand.
Yes, I've heard that too, and I've even experimented with it. Sometimes I'd ask myself a question with my non-dominant hand and look for the answer, and I would get, an answer would come from a different place. Isn't this stuff amazing?
I just love this. So I don't even know how long I've been going, because I forgot to look at the clock when we started. But anyway,
it's a great
conversation. So I'd like to ask you, you mentioned before we came on air that you had done a worksheet. Would you like to share what you found in completing that worksheet?
Yes, I will. This is, I shared once before, you could see my face. This coming from the woman who could tell any funny story, but when it comes to another story, it's like, all right, I'm going to do it because it's very interesting, especially as I read it aloud to my husband. He said to me, oh, this feels heavy. The story that I was getting to use as my story went back to maybe when I was 2.5 or 3 years old. We lived in a split-level home at the time. I had a baby brother who was probably in a crib at the time, and I had twin beds in my room. And I slept at the far end of the bedroom away from the door. Okay. There was a space in between and another twin bed. In the middle of the night, one night, real or imagined, but let's say it was all imaginary, right? I saw wrapped up in coils, huge snakes. You see my arms? They were about this size, maybe thicker. I want to say at least 2 or 3. They were in a coil fashion, but they were stacked. Now imagine to a 2.5, 3-year-old child. I was petrified. It was like shocking. What are these things doing in my dark bedroom? I could still kind of conjure them up in my mind right now. I probably
60-year-old, I'll be petrified.
Okay. But imagine this 2.5, 3-year-old. I was old. So this is where I was. And even when I was doing this exercise, I thought, did I call to my parents for help? My sense is that I did, but listen to this, Karen, my voice was unheard. Because I got no response. And all I kept thinking was, how can I get out of this room with these snakes? Because in order to do so, I had to kind of like pass by the snakes around them to get out the door. As it turned out, Karen, I did. And I managed to exit the door safely, and I could immediately travel up 3 to 4 steps to get into my parents' room. They had the top floor on this split level home. Sorry, I was so happy. And I went in and I said, I'm so afraid. I said, there are snakes in my room. There are snakes in my room. So I managed, I think my father put me into bed between them, between my mother and father. And for those minutes, oh, Karen, I was like, you know when you feel like you're totally comforted?
Yes.
I was like, oh, thank God. I couldn't even say thank God back then. But in my own mind, I was safe and sound and secure. Well, within what appeared to me to be like no time, as in a few minutes, my mother said to my father, put her in her bed.
Oh.
Picked me up, brought me downstairs, put me back in the same bed. And I was not only horrified by the snakes at first and frightened by that, but I was like, why are you taking me away from you? You're the people I feel safe around. Well, it didn't end there, Karen, because at some point later, the snakes reappeared in the room and I escaped again. And the next time I went up to the door was locked. And I must have knocked on the door, tried to move it, and my mother said to me, go back to bed. And I sat there as this little child, right outside the door. I didn't want to go back to my bedroom. And I was in such a state of shock. Like, it was very hard for me to process it all. My little pajamas, I'm leaning against the wall on the stairway, and I thought, nobody's going to help me. Where do I go? I was so shocked, and I felt so abandoned, alone, isolated. Let me use those words. And I thought, well, do I sleep here all night? But I remember it was very uncomfortable. Maybe when the sunlight started coming on, I went back to my bed. But I'm telling you, Karen, at that juncture in my life, and this is where not speaking, somewhere, and I wrote about this, I must have, and I remember it, I must have made a realization that I didn't have anybody to go to, that I was not protected, and that I needed to take care of myself. And
an age to get that.
But you know what? I feel, here's the thing. I think that wasn't the only time I made such a vow to myself, given my age and my vulnerability as a child, that it was my way of being able to persevere in the midst of circumstances that were very hard to deal with. So anyway, fast forward. I have to tell you, that experience repeated itself as I started doing these exercises. Now you can see my face.
Yeah.
I'm laughing like, whoa, I used the same words. There were doors that were locking, doors that were closing. It was like, I'm talking about for a lifetime. And several things that were such commonalities in the original story of my life. And I'm smiling now because the bigger thing in this picture, it's not like I didn't remember this event or whatever. I just allowed myself by going through the process, the 2-hour long process of writing it down and literally giving honor and acknowledging my feelings and allowing myself to be that little 2.5, 3-year-old. And so I want to tell you, this is why we might have to do another follow-up. I really expect as a result of not only doing it, now sharing it with you, not that I was planning on it, that I believe somewhere in my thyroid, the chronic cough, the fact that I'm coughing because I've never really coughed at what I wanted to say, and the energy itself that has so depleted me as a result of this lifelong cough is going to dissipate, and I'm going to self-heal.
Yes.
Can I share one other thing?
I totally agree, especially when you come to the, I completely forgive myself.
Yes.
So once you do the reframe and you stop being the victim and you actually understand it, and because obviously you'll come back from an adult's perspective of it all, so you'll forgive your parents, especially your mother and all of that sort of stuff, and you'll realize exactly why she was doing it. More, otherwise she would have had you in her bed every single night.
And you know what I think too, Karen, I mean, think about it. I'm a mother. And this is why I will forgive, I don't care who it is, it could be heinous things. That was a small thing, right?
Yeah.
But I, my mother, would I ever want my daughter to hold something against me in my life? Never would I want anybody to. That's why I don't hold anything against anybody, but I just gave place to emotions that I wouldn't have wanted to give place to. But I have to tell you something else, and this is important in terms of the overall concept of this book, is seeing things from another perspective. And even talking about these blueprints for life before we come here on planet Earth, where we're going to be experiencing certain things maybe that our soul wants to experience in the way of separateness.
Yes.
Karen, I have been told many times that when I enter a room to speak, because you know I do a lot of public speaking, and I can oftentimes I'm around perfect strangers. They will hear something, they'll see something, but they say, Maura, when you step into a room, there's something about you, I feel without a word being spoken, that you understand me. Now, what is the biggest thing we all suffer from? It's the idea of being isolated, alone, rejected.
No one understands me.
Right. And you know something? With having that as a little child and then seeing it repeat itself in various ways throughout my life, you could see my face and my energy, right? This is where I always know what zone I'm in. And this author speaks about this. My calling in life has been to serve as an uplifter and as a unifier to the differences we have in this world and to bring back the awareness of love and unity. And what better way to relate to people than to spend decades feeling like, oh, I've got this thing hiding back or somewhere in my body where I felt like the person who was alone and forgotten and overlooked and isolated and afraid and vulnerable, etc.
Yes.
So I see that as a grand preparation. I could say this easily with my mother in the room. It doesn't matter, you know. That thing was a favor to me, maybe not on a micro scale because you go through life and you think, okay, this is not easy, but on a purposeful macro level that really, truly brings purpose to the soul and to a higher purpose. What joy is in that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And that's what I love about this book. It really does assist you to understand that nothing is done to you. It's done for you.
Yes.
And it's about doing the self-exploration, feeling the feelings, going into it. A lot of people don't want to go back and feel the feelings and actually understanding and then seeing how you are better off for that incident.
Absolutely. And, you know, if I could add things, you know, my daughter even said this to me once. She was in college and she ended up with, interestingly enough, a problem with her lungs and she couldn't heal them and she kept going. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was in such pain and she said to me when I went to care for her, she said, Mom, she said, I know this has been a really hard time for me, but she said, you know what I realized? The times we grow the most in life are not when everything is going well. She said, we do our most growing when we go through hard times. And that was a 16, 17 year old girl saying that to me. And you know what? It is because we grow in things like grace, compassion, understanding, forgiveness of our own weaknesses, which helps us forgive others and theirs. How about this self-awareness? What is it like if we're on the other side of maybe mean girls and then we decide, I'm not going to be a mean girl to anybody, whatever it may be, those hard times when we process them through the higher place, the God space, the divine space, whatever you want to call it, they have the capacity to so transform us into better, more vibrant, more full-bodied, more aware versions of ourselves.
I totally agree. And I think that is where we are going to end this conversation. And it has been an amazing conversation. Thank you, Maura, for being so open, so honest, and actually going in and not only reading the book, but doing the exercises. Because everyone can read a book, but it's through doing those exercises that you really do get to understand yourself so much more. And it's just so rewarding.
It is. It is.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure we will have another conversation on Live Love by Design TV. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That has been another episode of Live Love by Design TV. I am very grateful for Maura for coming on and discussing the book with me, but more importantly, for being so open and so vulnerable and sharing her stories. I highly recommend that you do yourself a favor and go and get this Radical Forgiveness book. It's by Colin Tipping, and it's an amazing process. It really does assist you to take any event in your life, small or huge, to actually see how it has been done for you, not to you, and how it can assist you to actually fulfill everything that you have chosen to fulfill in this lifetime. So thank you again for being here, and I look forward to seeing you on another episode of Live Love by Design TV real soon. Bye for now.